and we find Jesus gathered with his disciples on a night that will become a really hard night for them. This was the night before Jesus would begin his journey, his way to the cross. And as we go into this narrative, as we go into John 13 and 14, I encourage you to come alongside this story thinking about, what is it like for you on a hard night? What has it been like for you on a hard night? And how do these messages of Jesus in this passage encourage us to be as we face the hard nights? The disciples are alone with Jesus. It's a private function. It's just for them. And in this time of just being together with those that he loved dearly, he is preparing them for his departure from them. They are tucked away in a room by themselves, and not even a servant is present. Their feet are still dirty and dusty as they sit at the table. It is just Jesus and those closest to him. It is just you and Jesus on a hard night. It's the ones that he has called to himself to learn his way. It is a hard night because during this farewell dinner, one of whom had learned with Jesus, had traveled with Jesus, and who had experienced the ways of Jesus, would now become a betrayer of Jesus. Judas, who had followed and had been following the light of the world, would slip away from this place of light into a place of darkness. And he would do this just for mere earthly gain. For mere earthly gain, he would betray his good shepherd, the one whose voice he had known and had followed. And it is a hard night because Jesus gives a negative prediction to Peter in the face of Peter's expression of courageous love. Peter says, "I am ready to die for you." But Jesus says to him, "You are not ready to die for me. You are going to disown me." And it is a hard night because Jesus is telling them that he is going to leave them. And where he is going, they cannot come. Their bread of life, their good shepherd, their light that they have been following, this one, this I am that we've been talking about, the one, the I am that they love, is saying he's going to leave them alone. They are really confused and they are worried, just like we might be on dark nights. Jesus is deeply present to them on this night. Scripture says that having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. His presence, his love was there with them to his end. And on this hard night, Jesus' loving presence comes through his actions, his words, and his postures with them. On this hard night, Jesus took the role of a servant, not begrudgingly, but lovingly. He washed his followers' feet, and he dried them with a towel. We read in John 13, "And during dinner, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him." No servants were present for this private meal to do the task of washing the dust and the dirt from the guests' feet. And the disciples had not done this for each other, and we can assume they didn't do it for each other because they were way too proud to perform this menial task. It was for a servant to wash their feet, not for them to wash each other's feet. But in this, we see that Jesus is willing to humble himself to this task, knowing that much deeper humiliation is coming to him as he begins his way to the cross. In the midst of this hard night, Jesus serves his followers. He reminds them that he, their teacher and their Lord, is willing to humble himself to the point of washing their feet. And he instructs them that they should be willing to do the same in their hard nights and throughout their lives. I think it's really important here that Jesus did not institute a law on foot washing, but he showed an example of humility and invites us and all followers of Jesus to have the same attitude. In John 13, 15, he says, "You should do as I have done for you." On our hard nights, we should do as Jesus has done for us. Jesus' message to them on this hard night is to follow his way, to serve one another, to live and to practice humility. Jesus is enforcing the dignity of service. And he points out the blessing of this way of humility. In verse 16, he says, "Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." On this final night with his disciples, Jesus is fully aware of the darkness that is present. He acknowledges out loud that one of those that he loves is going to betray him. He knows this. He accepts this. He doesn't fight back. After saying this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you will betray me." And through this, Jesus reveals the way he must take is the way of rejection and of betrayal by those that he has loved and those that said they loved him. And in this face of betrayal, Jesus offers his disciple another lesson that stands in contrast to what is happening. He doesn't condemn the betrayer. He doesn't badmouth or degrade the betrayer. Instead, he stands in opposition to the act of betrayal and he says, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." It's so important for us to recognize the context of Jesus saying, "Love one another." He knows that the hard, that the betrayal, that an injustice is going to be done against him. And in that moment, he tells us, his disciples, love one another. And so on our hard nights, in our moments where we feel rejected or betrayed, what does it mean for us to follow this way of Jesus, to love one another? Jesus says, "As I have loved you." He is identifying that his way is the way of love and of unselfish concern for one another. As I have loved you. I'm in a book club, and one of the women in the group always reads the last two pages of the book before she reads the first page. Can't understand why she does this, but it's with every book she reads, she says. And she tells us that she does this because she wants to read the story with the ending in mind. So we today know the ending of Jesus' story. The disciples didn't. They didn't have the end in mind. And Jesus says to them, "You must love each other as I have loved you." They don't know that this means to love sacrificially, give up your life for the sake of another. And further along into this conversation, if we go into John 15, Jesus emphasizes this way of sacrificial living by saying, "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command." On this hard night, Jesus is talking to his disciples, he says, "My children, I will be with you only a little longer." And then he continues to teach them his ways and his truth. Randy Posh was a husband and a father and a professor. And about 10 years ago, he died of pancreatic cancer. He lived 5 months beyond the 6 months that he was given to live. And before his diagnosis, he, as a professor, he often participated in a program called the Last Lecture, where professors addressed their students with the topic being, hypothetically, if you knew you were going to die, what would you say to your students? The hypothetically piece had been removed from Randy's life. And in the months preceding his death, he chose to write his last lecture for his three children so that they could know what ways of living were important to him, the ways he was encouraging them to live. Randy has a book, and it's called The Last Lecture. I think it's a good read. And he is remembered by many for his courage in the face of death and for the beautiful gift that he left in how to live by this book. As Randy spoke his last lecture in this book, he said, "Today's talk is not about death, but about how to live." In his hard night, he was not focusing on death, but on the way of living. A couple of the lessons that he wanted to leave for his children and for his students were these. He said, "The importance of people over things. People matter, things don't. And the value of curiosity, of enthusiasm, and of fun." Randy was doing what Jesus modeled. In Randy's last days, he was spending time with those he loved most, and he was instilling in them the lessons in life he most wanted them to hang on to for their own joy and for the betterment of society. I think of Randy as a young dad and what this following statement must have meant to him. And he said that he had made his decision to speak mostly to his three children, to leave them a video memory, to put himself in a metaphorical bottle that they might someday discover on a beach. The hidden messages of their dad, of the one who loved them. And it would really be only after Jesus' death that his disciples would have the fullness of understanding of the lessons that Jesus was modeling and teaching. Jesus knew that his way was leading him to death. Yet on this last night, he was telling his disciples how to live. Jesus is deeply aware that this is a hard night for his disciples and that they are afraid and confused. He has told them that he will be leaving them shortly and that where I am going, you cannot come. As we read John 14, we see the confusion, the disorientation of the disciples that are represented in their questions. Thomas says to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And through this question, Thomas is revealing that he thinks that Jesus is going to this literal destination. He's going from this room to a literal next place. And on this hard night, Jesus' teachings and examples reveal that he isn't the showing the way to a specific destination, but he is showing the way of the spiritual journey, of our spiritual journeys. That really the destination is not the point, but the point is Jesus' way. "Follow my ways," he is saying to them. And then Philip says to him, "Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied." Like me, maybe like you, Philip is saying, "One more thing on this hard night, God. Would you show me one more thing of you that will sustain me in this hard night?" Philip is asking for one more revelation, for one more reveal that will sustain him. And Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen God. In being close to me, you have been close to God." On our hard nights, we're close to God. We're close to Jesus. "If you want to know what God is like, look at me," Jesus says. "Look at my life. Look at my way. Look at my character." Jesus' way has been compassion, of healing, of acceptance, of forgiveness, of inclusion, and of love from the beginning to the end. And his goal during this 3 years of public ministry was to expand the way of welcome into the kingdom of God, of who people, all people, could accept and become God's people. On this hard night of disorientation, Jesus offers them a word of comfort and of encouragement to go deeper in their trust of him. He seeks to reorient them. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." Or I like how the Message version states it. He says, "Don't let this throw you. You trust God, don't you? Trust me." And on their hard night and on our hard nights, he says, "Don't let this hard throw you. You can trust me. I am here." And then Jesus goes on to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen me." To Philip's question of, "Show me God one more time," Jesus says, "I am. You have seen God." In seeking to reorient them to them, Jesus is teaching his disciples that those that he loves, that faith in him and faith in God can settle a troubled heart. Don't let this hard night, don't let this fear, don't let this unknown settle into your hearts and minds. Don't let the mysteries of this hard night unsettle you and distance you from me or from my ways that I have revealed. Believe in me, trust in me, follow my way. Blog writer Ellen Sim writes, "It's as if Jesus is saying, listen, you can't accompany me down the bitter path to suffering and death I must take alone. One of you has just left to betray me, and another of you will deny me. One of you has just left to betray me, and another of you will deny you even know me. But it's okay. Don't be overwhelmed with discouragement. Love one another. Keep faith in God. Keep faith in me. I will go alone into suffering and death, but beyond the suffering and death, I will arrive in my Father's house." Jesus is introducing his disciples, he's introducing us as his disciples to the hard truth of his way. Jesus' way is the way of death. Jesus' way is the way of the cross. But in this hard way is the good news that as we lose our lives, it is then that we find them. A way of death that leads to a new life, to the resurrection and to the life. The way to experience God's glory is to follow him, to trust him enough to follow him in the way of sacrifice, in the way of servanthood, and even into the way of suffering. Author Brian McLaren draws truths from this passage, and it's going to be up on the screen. It's a little lengthy, but I found deep meaning in it. McLaren writes, "Jesus said to Thomas, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know me and have seen me.' In this light, Jesus is saying, listen, you don't need to understand all of this. You simply need to trust me. Don't look for a way apart from me. Don't look for a route or a destination, some concept or technique or system of thought that is separate from me. I'm not trying to give you information or instruction so you no longer need me and can instead depend on the information or instructions. No, just trust me. Everything you need is in me. I will bring you to my Father's. The way, the truth, or the life aren't things separate from me. I am these things, so you'll find them in me. Whether or not you know what I've been talking about, if you know me, you know the Father, you know the way, you know the truth, you know the life. And McLaren continues, as I read the passage, Jesus is saying, don't ask me to show you something apart from me. All you are looking for is found in me. I have spoken to you about the way to live. I have spoken to you of a truth to which many are blind. I have spoken to you of life, life of the ages, life to the full. Don't you realize it? The way is the truth, and the truth is the life, and the life is a truth, and the life is the way, and all of these are found in me. Sometimes in dark nights, we may feel that we don't know the way, but in this narrative from the Gospel of John, Jesus is inviting us to say yes, even when we're not sure that we know the way. And he's inviting us to look back at all that Jesus has revealed about the way. And in this, and in looking at Jesus' life, we can recognize that the way is mercy. The way is kindness and an ever-widening circle of inclusion. And the way is peace. And the way is service. And the way is courageous challenge of unjust authorities. And the way is invitation to loving relationship with the source of love itself, with God through Jesus. And so what can we take with us? What can travel with us as we know that hard nights will come in our faith journey? What can we take with us as we seek to follow the way, the truth, and the life? Something we might ponder is, on those hard nights, whose feet are we being invited to wash? Where is Jesus inviting us to live out an action of humility? What does it look like for us to follow the way of washing others' feet? Who are we invited to love as Christ has loved us? What are we invited to give up, to lose, for the sake of another? And as difficult as it is, where might you and I be called to the way of death? Death that leads to a new life. Jesus tells us that by following his ways, by following him as the way, the truth, and the life, that the world will know that we are followers and that there is a way and there is truth. And there is life. Let's pray as a band comes forward. Maybe I confess on the behalf of many of us that we don't like dark nights, that we don't like not understanding. We don't always like when your revelation of yourself invites us to deeper sacrifice, invites us to take our eyes off of our own hard night and to go forth and serve, believing that in serving and in loving as you have loved us and laying down our lives, that we are following the way, the truth, and the life, and we know where you are leading us. God, give us courage, give us hope, give us understanding as we journey. Amen.
If you're able, would you stand with us? And let's, we're going to sing the name Yahweh again as a church. So let's stand.
My very breath, the source of life, the source of rest. Oh, I need you. Your these fragile sails, you carry me through crashing waves. Oh, I need you. Breathing you in, Yahweh, Yahweh.
Resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
If you are in a hard night and would like some prayer, we'll be here following this service. If you are in a hard night, know that Jesus is near to you, so close that he chooses to spend his time there with you.